Thank you for joining me today. Welcome back. As you know, if you've been with us, we're reading about Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52. And as we read, we're asking this question of the text. What does Jesus teach us about God? Given that Jesus is God in human flesh, when we look to Jesus, when we listen to the words of Jesus, what is it that we learn about the living and holy God? Earlier this week, we encountered our first lesson. It's this. In this text, Jesus teaches us that although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active. And we looked at this in the context of Luke 2, and then yesterday I made some personal application for our own lives in this century in which we live, long following the ascension of the Lord Jesus into heaven. And when we left off yesterday, I had promised to show you how active God the Father was in Jesus the Son's life. And so that is what we will embark on beginning today and carrying into tomorrow, and then into next week also. But just before we get to that, I want to make a statement about my statement. This first lesson, although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active, is going to serve as a kind of lesson that overhangs the other lessons to follow. We can call it the leading lesson, our leading lesson. And that is why I put it first and why I will circle back to it as we study these verses together. So whatever you do, do not forget what Christ's life teaches us about God. Although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active. He's always on the move. He's always doing something. This will be very encouraging and helpful to you when in your own discipleship with Christ, you sometimes walk in the loneliness of isolation, and it just seems that God has gone quiet on you. Remember, He is still active. The great theologian John Calvin describes this as, quote, the secret stirring of God's hand and God's secret plan, end quote. That is very well stated. If you are experiencing distance in your relationship with God, having trouble hearing from Him, will you continue to trust in Him? Will you choose to believe that there is life in a secret stirring of God's hand and a secret plan for you that He's yet to reveal? Oh, I hope so, my friend. I want this leading lesson to encourage you. And with that, let me take us into our second lesson, drawn from the passage I will read to you in a moment. Lesson number two is this. In this text, Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. Let me give that to you again. You can jot this down. In this text, Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. Here's an often unknown biblical fact. Jesus spent the first 30 years of his life in quiet, in obscurity, out of the public eye, just living day by day in the routines of Galilean duty. If you'll think about this, we have seen this in what we have already learned from Luke's gospel. Jesus is born. Then when he is 12 and goes to Jerusalem with his parents for Passover, he speaks briefly. Luke summarizes those first 12 years in Luke 2, verse 40, writing, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I think that statement reflects a quiet life, trusting his Father in heaven to develop intimacy with him. And then in Luke 2, verse 52, we have this statement, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He leaves the temple with his parents and continues to grow up, but again, in quiet in Nazareth, as he is in his humanity, trusting his heavenly Father. As I have said, that verse then summarizes the next 18 years of Jesus' life in Israel. 12 years plus 18 years equals 30 years, and all of that is lived by Jesus in quiet, trusting God to develop intimacy with him in his daily routines. And of course, yes, in year 30, Jesus bursts forth from his home in Nazareth and commences a speedy and active 3 years in public ministry prior to his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. But what I have found stunning in learning from Jesus is that 30 of 33 years are lived very quietly. He lives most of his life quietly. And this is a good and timely lesson for us because so many of us want just the opposite. Let me speak of human desires in two ways. First, we have what the majority of people want, and here I speak of those who are not following Christ. Second, we have what even Christian people want. Prior to being redeemed by Jesus from our sin and set in the family of God, we lived to achieve something great in our lives. Like the unbelievers around us today, we wanted to be known. Ours was also the sin of pride. And people outside of Christ today are bored with their routines, many of them hating their lives, wishing to be someone else. It's my opinion that this is why social media is so popular. With a few clicks on the mobile phone, someone previously unknown, anonymous and unheard of gets a following by some pictures they post, a video they release, messages they tweet, or statements they otherwise make. And in this other world, in cyberspace, suddenly he or she is able to break away from the routines of the quiet life, to be made someone. The message resounds around our culture. You too can be popular, known, and famous. And second, we have, sadly, many who profess faith in Christ behaving no differently. Within Christian community, we have persons wanting to make their mark on history, also bored and dissatisfied with routine. Spiritually speaking now, they seek what's big, flashy, and full of pizzazz, crazily dramatic. They pursue radical testimonies of what God is doing, because if it is not radical, then somehow the Holy Spirit is not doing it. There is this pursuit of becoming a star in the churches. And speaking of churches, we like big, mega, and trendy. We're drawn to the most popular hip pastors. And the message ringing out from many a church is this: you too can be rich and successful, just like us. God's just waiting to dump on you a storehouse of wealth and prosperity. So leave your small community parish, that out-of-the-way and irrelevant little church of yours, and join in with the big boys and girls. Get where the action is at. Is your pastor even on Instagram? Does your church even have a website? Oh, yes. This is how far into the church the world has sunk its ways. Christians want to be just like everybody else, and some of us pursue all the worldly acclaim we can achieve. We'd happily have our names on buildings, our social media bursting with likes and retweets, and our names being discussed at the private clubs and in the news. We too like the high life, swanky hotels, travel, expensive vacations, our kids in the best schools, and impressive titles on our business cards. To pay for all of this, we run hard after high incomes and what is called financial security. Rather than spending the weekend around the house or apartment, loving and serving our spouses, parents, and children in obscurity, too many professing Christians ignore these duties and responsibilities in pursuit of something more. So we also take out our phones and take selfies and wonder where this may lead us. Or we live out our sinful fantasies online as well. Now you say, "Not me, Mark. I do not even have a phone. What's social media? Nobody knows me. I live alone. I carry on a very boring, quiet life." Or, "I do my duty. I faithfully love my spouse and kids and provide for them, doing my job well. I have a really good work ethic. And yeah, my weekend is full of doing stuff that's not at all important. Laundry, grocery shopping, helping my kids with their homework and the like." Well, I hear you, and I agree. My life, then, is a lot like yours. I think you'll find Jesus ministering something very powerful to you as we uncover the truth that the majority of his life was just like yours is now. In this text, Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. As we will see, Jesus rejects stardom. He favors who and what is faithful over who and what is successful. Jesus calls us to be faithful, not successful. So does Christ object to all success? Is that what I am saying? No, not necessarily. But we will have sobering commands for those who attempt success the world's way. Jesus will give us those sobering commands. Today I have given you our second lesson from Luke 2, verses 39 to 52. I repeat, in this text, Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. And then I have given you this little introduction, speaking with you about present realities in the world and in too many churches and individual Christian minds and hearts. I have done this to get you thinking critically about yourself. Maybe you tune in today as someone who is not a Christ follower. Welcome. Maybe you come to this time very much in love with the Lord. Welcome. But either way, let me ask, are you satisfied with living a quiet life? I pray that Jesus will speak directly to you in these days together and will convict you to be more like him. And I hope you'll believe me. I pray daily, sometimes by the minute or hour in my own life, that I also will be much, much more like Jesus. Oh, I tell you, I have a long way to go. Pray for me. Seriously, do so, and I will pray for you. Let's pray for spiritual maturity in one another's lives. And when we gather tomorrow, Lord willing, I'll be here on a Friday, just prior to Mother's Day, and we will discuss Jesus' relationship to his own parents. This is when we'll take up certain verses in the Bible. So as always, I trust that you too will be here. And that as a reminder, if you miss the broadcast, get the podcast. Instructions on how to do so await, so stick around for a few more moments. And do not forget to write to me today. May is the month for mail. So write to me and get your gift, and then join me again tomorrow, for God is.